Zentok. I don't like that window. That window bothers me. That one right there.
It's beautiful.
I know.
See the tree.
So, so we have at least one or two newbies. So here's the deal. This is kind of the format. I have some questions pre-driven from some Team Zen folks.
How about gotten earlier? You got them earlier? We got questions earlier.
Or what I said.
Or driven.
Oh, we didn't record.
Yes, we are.
Oh, we're recording. Yeah. Nice job, sweetie. Mm-hmm. So this is an opportunity for you guys to get support from Kathy and I and the rest of the team. I happen to like it when people say, hey, Todd, I have something I want to talk about. And then we have a discussion. Kathy wants everybody to do what they want to do, which is
makes a lot of sense.
Thumbs down. So these are the questions I have pre-written, which I'm happy to start with, but I'm really hoping.
What he means is that that you guys are welcome to ask questions live. Just raise your hand, or you can go in the chat on the side, or you can just kind of wave to us, and you know, whatever way, because you know some people's computers are different, and or you can, or we're just going to go off of these questions and that people gave us who can't be on the talk but are going to listen to the recording. Either's fine. And Todd's just joking. He likes live questions, but it doesn't matter. Either
way, I wasn't
way,
joking. I was serious when I said that.
Either way, we get you know, input from
everybody. So first, I want to say hi to Mimi and Jennifer, and Peggy, and Millie, and Heather, who's from Atlanta, as it turns out, Kristen, and Kelly, and Sarah. And Jennifer raised her hand, so we're going to jump in to good old Jennifer, and I'm going to let her ask the first question. Jennifer, what do you got for us?
Hi, guys. It's so nice to see everybody.
Good to see you.
Two things I want to say before I ask my question. One, I'm wearing a shirt. I'll try to show you. It says expect us, and it's mom's demand.
Yes.
So my ZPR inspired merch, and these earrings I actually got at the conference last year, and was Threads Worldwide the only one selling jewelry?
Yeah, those are from Threads because I have the exact same ones.
Okay. So what was really funny, this is the coincidence of this, when I got them, the lady said, oh, I love those. You know who bought them? And I'm like, who? And she said, Glennon Melton.
Yeah.
So these are Glennon's earrings. So I'm so excited to be wearing Glennon's earrings. okay. So my question, I guess, is kind of related to, and I apologize for not remembering the name of the person who had the question last week about her work situation where she was carrying around a lot of pain from a difficult situation she had at work. It wasn't last week. It was the last talk.
It was Kate V.
Huh?
It was Kate V.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So I was thinking when I was listening to it about a situation that I've kind of been in that is similar. And the question, I'll give you the background, but the question is basically like when you're stuck in that painful place and you think you've dealt with it, but then it like resurfaces and gets triggered again. And so one of the resources that Todd had posted was the video of, was it Jeff Foster? And I love his line that pain wants to be held and not healed. So I have that up, you know, on my vision board and everything. But I feel like I understand that we should invite the pain in and it should be our friend and we shouldn't be mean to it. Like I understand all of that theoretically, but the situation I'm in, the pain is so deep that I don't really know. I'm tired of it visiting. I don't want it to visit anymore. And I don't feel like I've processed through it. So I'll just give you an example of, or I'll give you the situation that comes up. So every single summer, Vinny's family takes a trip. And it's the family vacation place that they've been going for a really long time. And before we all had kids, we all spent time there and it was nice. And then once we all had kids, it got a little more complicated, and a branch of the family, basically the whole tree, has been continuing to go on this trip, and we're the only branch that does not. It's a few reasons, because in the summer I had my babies in the summer, so those two summers I couldn't do it. And then also there's 5 siblings, and 4 of them have a lot more financial resources than us. So they can go and kind of not even think about spending money, but we have to be more thoughtful about it. So they kind of all decided to get this big fancy house. And so we were staying at Vinny's parents' place, which was like an immobile mobile home, a little trailer. And they all kind of moved on to this big fancy place, which was fine. I didn't mind that. But then it was kind of like, well, it wasn't kind of like, they basically kind of did their thing in the big fancy house. And then we were just kind of an afterthought. And so multiple things happened this one particular year where literally they would like drive to the trailer and pick up Vinny's parents and go to dinner and like not include us. And they would be like, oh, well, it's too hard for all of us to go out together, so we're just going to take mom and dad. And then it was a really bad situation, because then they said the next time they did it, they're like, oh, well, none of us are going out together, we're all going separately. But then we were driving around and I saw that all their cars were parked at the same restaurant. And I had said to them originally, like, all right, well, maybe we could go out for ice cream after. And I found out they were all at the same restaurant. And then we went to ice cream. And then they showed up at the ice cream place. And I mean, it was, I can literally still feel my heart breaking. And I got so upset. And I just stormed out. And I went back to the trailer. And I just sat there crying. And I just was thinking, like, what is wrong with me and us that they don't want to be with us? And so Vinny's family's always been really close, but I just feel like we're always on the outside, like we're always the different ones. And, you know, I've struggled with a lot of mental health issues, and I had postpartum depression, and I feel like I'm never totally accepted, and I feel like there's maybe some undercurrents of, I don't know, like, I've kind of ruined Vinny, like, I don't know. So there's so many complicated things. So long story short, we had my boys' birthday party. They all have summer birthdays. And we had it at my sister-in-law's house. And they were all getting ready to go on this trip. So they were all talking about it. And it all welled up in me. Like all this, every single year at this time, the pain wells up. And during the year, we all get along. But there's still this structure in place that it's those 4 siblings, and then there's us. So I think the reason I struggle so much with it, other than the obvious reason, is I don't have a family of my own. You know, you guys know about my mom, and my dad died when I was really young. So I really just have my sister, and I'm always longing for this deep family connection. And I think one of the reasons I married Vinny was because he had this big, loving family. And I just never feel like I belong in it. And I feel like it's hard to not see these overt actions as something intentional. And, you know, my therapist, you know, she was trying to help me figure out how to separate, like, do I really even want to be in that big group? Because I don't really like big groups. Versus just wanting to feel that sense of belonging in the family. So we're working on that, but I don't know how to get rid of that pain, because I want to belong and I want to feel connected and I want people to understand me. And I guess I just don't really feel like, after all these years of being a part of Vinny's family, that I'm really like a deeply connected piece of it. Mm-hmm. And the good thing is my kids don't really feel that way. Like they don't associate the two things together. They just think like we can't go because, you know, we have other things going on. And my husband basically feels like he's just accepted it and it doesn't bother him as much anymore, but it really, 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 really bothers me. And so every single year at this time I get triggered by it. And so I guess So that's the background. And my question is, this pain, I don't want to be friends with it. And I just want it to go away. And I think because it's family, like we're with them a lot. We spend a lot of time with that family. And I just, every time I'm with them, I just feel like there's something wrong with me.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't fully, like they tolerate me, but they don't fully like get me or appreciate me or even want to be with me. So, and I know that a lot of that is irrational because I know like if I asked them, they would say, of course we love you, but I just don't, it just doesn't feel good at all. I don't feel like I belong there. So that's basically the question is, when it comes to the sense of belonging and something that you really, really want, then how do you make that pain go away?
Good question.
Awesome.
So
I'm going to mute her.
Okay.
You start.
Okay. So I think what's interesting, and I think you would, because, you know, of discussions we've had in the past, Jen, I think that you would probably agree with this, is that even though Vinny's family is triggering this, you know, it's older than Vinny's family, obviously. What the pain that's coming up is not because of what Vinny's family is doing, but because the way you're perceiving what they're doing based on an old wound. And that's what we all do. Like that's not a Jennifer thing. That's, we all have certain lenses that we look through. And a lot of times, especially like you said, in your family structure, if you didn't feel understood or you didn't feel like you belonged, then it's almost like those are the glasses we wear, right? And a lot of times we do find people where we go, oh, there's no effort here. I just feel like I belong. Like you obviously felt that way with your husband, or you feel that way with your kids, or maybe some girlfriends where you're like, I have a whole new set of glasses, and, you know, and I'm so grateful for that. But sometimes in, you know, and I don't know Vinny's family, so it's not about me supporting their decisions, because it doesn't sound like they're always being that kind. You know, that their choices aren't that good, but because I can't talk to them, the two things that I would think of the most that came up for me the most is, number one, sometimes in a family or in a group of friends, because of what they can do, meaning because there's financial, decision-making that they can make beyond your family, sometimes they are just going to do things and they're not going to include you, not because they don't love you, but because they don't want to change what they're doing. Okay. Even though that is like the most heart-centered and kind thing to do, which is let's meet in the middle and find something for everybody. You know, I can even say in my group of girlfriends, which is, you know, it's different, but I have some girlfriends who are struggling financially and I have some girlfriends who are doing really well. And all of a sudden people are like, oh, let's go to Italy next year. And it's like, but what about these people? Well, you know, they won't go next year, but we'll think about them the next year. I don't think that's the right thing to do. You know, but my girlfriends who want to go to Italy aren't bad people. They just are like, I would like to do this and I am fine. I can do this. And so I would like to think about myself. And sometimes, and that's not, I'm not saying you're good and they're bad. I'm just saying that's the way it is sometimes. But unfortunately, if we're already feeling like I don't feel like I belong or that you guys understand me, it just exacerbates that pain. And I think that, so going back to your original question, which is, I don't want to feel this pain anymore. I don't want to deal with this anymore. It really, Vinny's family is bringing it up again, but it's an old thing of belonging. And whenever I don't want to deal with a pain anymore, what that means is I've come into a brick wall with, I've already investigated this to the hilt. I've already looked at all the corners of my brain about
this.
I've already done the work and I don't feel like feeling this anymore. And what that then turns me to is then I need to completely restructure this. How am I going to look at this differently then? And I wish I could, I'm trying to think if I can come up with an example for me. Like then I start to, I'll just use yours and I'm going to make it up as I go along, because it's, I have looked at all this. Why does Vinny's family not include me? Why don't I belong here? Why don't people understand me? And I'm doing this because it's like you keep running into a brick wall because there's no answers. And my thought would be, okay, is it true that I don't belong there? Am I really seeing, like they did go out to dinner and they showed up for ice cream. Could there be another explanation to that? And if there isn't, does it mean that I'm not valuable and I don't belong?
or does it mean something that I have no idea about? Could I just not make a story about it? Because what I'm doing is then creating space on the wall of they need to change or what's wrong with me. Because A, nothing's wrong with you, and B, you can't make them change. So that's why it's a wall. See?
And C, it sounds like there's moments when Jen, she wants to be asked, but she may not want to like do all the things that the family wants to do anyway. Sure. So it's kind of like her ego is trying to play tricks on her, like, you need to be invited, but even if you're invited, you're not going to be happy and go along. So she's creating a situation in her brain like this is a no-win situation.
Right. And that's why questioning, like, you know, I know Todd, you know, like last year we were talking a lot about Byron Katie's work, and there's so much work beyond Byron Katie's work. But since we've talked about that in Zen Talks, like the question is any of the things you're thinking true? And it's not, this is the thing about pain. Even if we heal it in many ways, like we identify it, we talk about it, we go to our therapist, we do body work, we do all the things and we have the big release, there's always going to be scar tissue. And I think a lot of times we want to be like, I've healed that, I've looked at that, I want that to be gone. Sorry. You know, Todd and I just had an experience on our break when we went to Seattle where all this stuff came up for me that I've been done with for a long time.
Yep.
Don't you think?
And you had a good few days and then something happened, a curveball, and then all of a sudden we were challenged.
Very well, yeah, and I had to bring it up to Todd, and I was able to say, I know this is old, and this is like such a deep, yucky place that I think I've dealt with, but sometimes it just comes up. And instead of being like, it shouldn't come up, it's like, it does. The loving of the pain is not, ooh, I'm glad to see you. It's, oh, there you are again. Okay. It's not a, like there's this, and again, I don't know if my words can do this justice because this is just a feeling inside, but it's not, hi, welcome. I'm so glad you're here. It's, oh, you're here. I know you belong here because you're part of me. I'm not going to put on your glasses and look through the world, you know, look at the world through you. But I also, if it's there, it's there, Jen. Do you know what I mean? It's almost like there, you know, a lot of times we're like, but I've already done this or I've already looked at this. And so we're fighting against what is. And the truth is it keeps coming up to make you, not for to create pandemonium with Vinny's family, but to ask you, do you belong? You do. And
the Vinny's only person who could tell her that is her.
Correct. And of course I can give you some, you know, advice on with Vinny's family, if you wanted to approach them about this, which you didn't even say you did, but if you did, my best advice would be approach it from your perspective and not theirs, not a, why did you go to ice cream or why are you going out without me, which is projecting onto them and they will just naturally become defensive. And instead it's you guys, and you can even use humor. I freaked when I saw you at the ice cream place because I was like, oh no, they don't want to be with me. And I know you love me, you guys. I know you love me, but all that hurt me because you know my background. And I just wanted you to know that next time you go to ice cream, can I go? Mm-hmm. And I know that sounds really like for some, you know,
needy,
but you know what? It's the truth.
I want to be included and I'm going to unmute her. So Jen, have you been vulnerable? Have you dropped your shield with Vinny's family or
do they think you're always,
right,
you know,
like, have they seen you in that state where you want to be loved?
So when I did freak, then we got together the next night and I was very passive aggressive and like basically only interacted with the kids and did not interact with any of the adults because I was so hurt and so mad. So my sister-in-law and I actually wound up getting in a fight like a week after they came back because, I don't know, she mentioned something that I mentioned something and she's like, well, you're just a control freak and you just want to be control of everything. And I'm like, no, I just want to be included. I'm like, you guys didn't even think to include me. And she's like, oh, so what are you saying? Like, I'm totally selfish and self-absorbed. So it was bad. And this was like 5 years ago. So I would have handled it really differently today than then. But then after that, I tried to find a new place for us to stay so that we could, like, basically, they kept adding people on non-family members, which was also hurtful because I was like, wow, we're not even included. But anyway, that's, so I tried to find these two houses that were right next to each other, and we found them, and then like we showed it to everybody, and then they were like, oh, you know what? We already put a deposit on the other place. So, I mean, if Vinny's family is not good at communicating, everyone wants to just sweep, like everyone just wants to say like, everything's fine. Sweep it under the carpet. Don't have conversations about anything. So I definitely challenge that because I want to talk about it and resolve things. I think what's really hitting me now with this conversation is that it's really true. I have self-worth issues, so it's really hard for me to say like I am worthy of love and acceptance and that I do belong here. So I think that's something I really need to work on, obviously. But then the other part is, while they were away, my good friend who actually comes to the conference with me, she's pregnant with her fourth child, and she's having a little bit of a complicated pregnancy. And so I went to a couple of the doctor's appointments and procedures with her. And it was such a gift for me because I felt such a sense of belonging with her. Like, mm-hmm. she wanted me there. I was so loved. I was giving her support. And I think that, you know, what you said, Kathy, about this is about my history and my past and my relationship within my family and that idea of not belonging and not being accepted. And, you know, it brings up all of these issues about my mom and my sister used to team up against me, and then my brother and my sister would team up against me. And it's kind of like, it's like history repeating itself. It feels like history repeating itself. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It feels like that. And, the one episode that you guys were talking about, being on somebody's team, like, I don't feel like I have a core group of people who are on my team. Mm-hmm. And that night at the party that I was telling you about, when everybody was talking about going on the trip, Vinny and I got into like a little disagreement, and my sister took his side. And it was like, kind of like the straw that broke the camel's back. 'Cause I was like, seriously, like, I'm already totally, like, you're the only one here from my family, and you're not even on my team, and now you're siding with Vinny, and now I'm all alone. And that's how I felt a lot growing up. I felt like I was all alone. So I think probably that, you know, questioning, is it true, and then believing in myself, and you're right, I'm really the only one that can provide that believing in me, and I got to work a lot on that.
So a few things, Jen. One is, I know we can't see everybody because not everybody, but everybody who's in this, maybe this is flippant or maybe it's not. Everybody who feels like they're on Jen's team, raise their hand right now.
Jen, we're on your team, baby.
So you do, and you're trying to go to, what's the metaphor? You're trying to go to the grocery store to buy.
You're trying to buy milk from, or like blood from a turnip.
Yeah. You're trying to buy milk from the hardware store.
Yeah.
And there's a part of me, there's the problem solving male part of my brain that wants to advise you to have a big meeting and get Vinny's support and modify who these people are. But Byron Katie has taught me and a whole bunch of other people, meet reality where it is. Right now, they're not going out of their way to teach you or to include you. That's just the way that they are. What you have responsibility for is, what energy are you going to bring to them? So in a way, these people, Vinny's family, are your teachers, in the same way when you weren't included or you felt like you weren't lovable when you were a young girl. This is the exact same teachable moment, wearing a different... But now you have an adult brain. So I know it's hard to do this, but instead of not wanting the pain or not wanting to hold the pain, is it possible to be grateful for these teachers that are showing up saying, these people are here in your life to give you an opportunity to say with absolute certainty, I am lovable, I am enough. Mimi wrote something on the board that's basically what Brene Brown says, which is, am I enough? And every one of us are enough. Our ego is just playing tricks on us, trying to convince us that we're not, when in actuality that we are.
Well, we like to contextualize what it means to be enough. And what we do is we like check boxes like, okay, I have a partner, so that means I'm enough. I have children, I'm enough. Do I have a group of girlfriends? Well, I only have three, but my other friend has five. Do I have an extended family that includes me? Well, sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. So I don't know if I belong there. We like things to look a certain way instead of, again, pull away from the wall and question, like you said, your sister, like, I'm not siding with your sister. That's not what I'm doing here. But it's, again, breaking away from the wall. When your sister sides with Vinny, and what I'd rather say is when your sister maybe speaks up for Vinny, could she be loving you? Could she be saying, Jen, I love you so much that I want you to see this from a different perspective rather than she's like leaving you alone? Because that's a childhood thing. That's a, I'm abandoned. And sometimes when Todd says, I hear you, but you're missing this, sometimes my first reaction is, you're not on my side. But the truth is he loves me enough to say, yeah, love you, but you're not seeing this. And that's real love too. Sometimes we think real love is having a bunch of sycophants around us that say, you're the best, yes, 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 whatever you say. But what about when we're wrong?
Or we put energy around certain words. And
you know, that's true too.
Family is supposed to be your most important people in your life. And to some of us or certain family members that are, and there's other family members that are not. And this is Vinny's family who sounds a little dysfunctional and passive aggressive.
Or if not dysfunctional, they have a different way of loving. It's not about dysfunction. It's that, like you said, they're more, you know, contained and everything's okay and let's keep going. Let's not deal with this issue.
Well, and I would encourage you to, because I just held a men's group in the living room here on Wednesday night, and we did The Work by Byron Katie. And I would just, and I know you've done this, Jen, but, you know, keep working it. Like, I think there's a part of your ego that says, okay, you're supposed to be past this by now. The bottom line is you're not, and keep working it. And there's going to be days when you feel pain and heart loss and you don't feel like enough. And then there's other days where you're going to feel good and you feel like you've worked it through. And what do we teach? What do we have? What are we here to learn? Presence. Just be present with where you are. And if where you are right now is in pain and sad because you're not included, then feel that pain. And then there's going to be moments when you're not feeling that, and you're going to be grateful for this family to be teaching you the lesson that you need to learn, which is you're enough. And the reason you're enough is because you're a human being that is breathing, and we all have that same amount of value.
That was a really good long sentence.
Thank you. And, I want to read what Millie said. Okay. This is what Millie said. This is what I was about to type after you made the comment about Danielle, the friend who's pregnant. The desire to belong is certainly one that we all share. Family. Oh, wow. I didn't even read this. Family doesn't have to be blood relatives.
Absolutely.
Some of my closest family are friends whom I've made along the way. I feel like some of them are more family than people that I'm related to. And though I am not, I've not met most of the people on Team Zen, I know they are on my team.
Correct.
So.
And again, that's what that's exactly what we were saying about words is we'll say, well, because that's my mom, she shouldn't do that. Just because that's like asking someone to be someone can be a great mom, but they don't know how to reach you. So you call them a bad mom, even though they're loving you in the only way they know how. My best friend from high school, who my aunt knows, her mom is
Monisha.
Yeah. Her mom is awesome. And her mom is just an amazing woman in many ways, but she and Monisha are completely different people. And it's just the two of them. Monisha's dad died when she was really young, and her mom loves through completely different means. And sometimes Monisha, because she's more like me, she's more of an emotional, I want my mom to tell me this, or I want my mom to show up for me, or just when she comes in, like sometimes her mom comes into Chicago and goes to the opera and doesn't see Monisha. And Manisha's like, how could she do that? And I'm like, easily, because she's going to the opera.
Yeah, and that's when you're like, you got to fall in love with reality.
Yeah.
Reality is, she didn't call you. Reality is, you didn't get invited to ice cream or dinner.
Right, and Manisha's like, but I wouldn't do that. And I'm like, but she would. But that doesn't make her bad. And if that hurts you, then you say to her next, not how could you do that, mom, but next time when you come in for the opera, can we have a glass of wine or can you come over? And if her mom's like, I can't because I want to drive home before it gets dark, do you see how that it makes sense? Or absolutely, I'll stop by. Or at least Manisha, instead of saying, mom, what's wrong with you? She's saying, here's what I need. Mm-hmm. That's the difference. Is a lot of times we look at mom or dad or sister or partner and we say, what's wrong with you? You're not doing what I want. You don't understand me. but we're saying what's wrong with you rather than what I need is. And again, Jen, this is like kind of going off of your question where I took it a little tangential, but it's connected in the sense that we, you know, sometimes we can just compartmentalize and say they're not including me. And it's probably true some of the time, but it may not be as intentional as you think. They may be so clueless that you're even bothered by it because of their own makeup. So it's a little bit of a love language thing, and it's a little bit of understanding, self-awareness again, understanding why it bothers us. And that's why I brought up the situation that Todd and I had, is because I was really mad about something small, but what it brought up for me, and it was just this, I'll tell you guys what it is so you can kind of see how small it was. I have done a good job speaking up for myself with Todd's family, and I love them and they're great. But there was one thing I said and nobody listened to me. So I went back to, nobody listens to me. Nobody listens to me. They didn't listen to me once. And you know why? Because they were busy.
We're busy.
And they were
fun
doing their own thing. So I said to Todd, after I got mad about it, I said, you know what? I just have an old wound with, you know, some of these people where I feel like they didn't understand me, even though now I know they do. Whenever I don't feel heard, I go immediately to they don't get me. And that's not what happened at all. Like, that was all my, but I had to get mad first, right, honey?
Mm-hmm. Everybody's your teacher.
Yes.
Everybody's our teacher. Our teachers are our teacher. People that we can't stand are our teacher. Stranger on the street's our teacher. That we have something to learn from every situation. Okay, I need to read a question because
okay,
I promised the lady I would do it.
Okay.
Hopefully that helped, Jen. This is from Dawn. I am entering a momentous, sweetie.
I like that word.
Phase in 7 years of mothering, and I'm sure most of the moms can relate to this. Our youngest starts kindergarten soon, and I will go from 12 hours of kid-free time per week to 35. So from 12 hours to 35. I have so much I want to accomplish. I've started lists of daily tasks, weekly tasks, and projects, and I have started feeling anxiety too, anxious that I will blow it and not make the best use of all this time I've longed for. I want to look back on the time I spent this school year and feel awesome about it.
I just want to say quickly, I'm not laughing at her. I'm laughing because I can relate.
Yeah, I understand. I am like a horse chomping at the bit right now, and history has shown that it is not a healthy starting point for me. Usually my expectations are bigger than my abilities. I run hard and then crash hard. Can we discuss the most zen way for me to move into this big transition in my life? I want it to be balanced, smart, productive, flexible. I'm forcing myself to add all the other words besides productive because I am not going to lie. That is what I'm most excited about. All the things I can cross off my list. Thank you and look forward to joining these talks. Blah, blah, blah. So have you ever experienced what Dawn has experienced?
Well, sure. And I will say, to be very, you know, to simplify it, the reason you're feeling anxious is because you're living something that hasn't happened yet. And because you're planning something you're not experiencing yet. And because you're already thinking about how you're not going to do it, you know, like, and the reason I say that is not laughing at her. It's that we all do that. That's what anxiety is projecting into the future. And then when we project in the future and we're like, we're going to get all this done, then our first thought that our ego says is you're not going to get that done. You know, you think you're going to get that done and then you're going to feel crappy because you didn't do it. And then you're not going to check things off your list and then you're going to be a failure. It's just like,
she made a story up in her head.
The story is already created. So again, similar to hitting the wall with, you know, Jen, like, because that's what our thoughts do. We hit a wall. And so oftentimes we'll say, I'm stuck. You're not stuck. You can always back up from a wall, reverse, do your reverse.
Beep, beep, beep. Beep.
When Todd does the reverse on the show, it's so loud in my ears.
I've lowered it for you.
I know, but it's when he does that beep beep sound, I'm like, oh my God, it's so loud. But what the backing up is, my recommendation would do, and again, she and I are different, maybe personality types. Maybe she's more like Todd, where she likes to have lists.
I like the energy of this one.
I know. And so there's nothing wrong with having a list. What's wrong is thinking you're going to do all those things in one day. Like, I would really back up and say the first 2 weeks, my kids in kindergarten, I'm just going to see. I'm not going to have any expectation. I'm going to kind of play it like summer. And I'm going to be like, what could I do today? And if I do go work out, you know, maybe I'll go get a smoothie, or maybe I'll, like, give space. Because if you say, I'm going to feel so much better when I work out and then I go to the next thing and I check these things off the list, I'm going to say this like as a friend, you will not feel better. You will just get a longer list. it can feel good at the end of the day to be like, ooh, I got so much done. But what you're creating is a situation where then you're only happy if you're getting things done.
And you're missing out on what's going on.
Exactly. And you're not even there. You're just in productivity mode all the time. So you went from child productivity mode and you like inserted then other productivity mode and you never slowed down. And while there are a lot of people out there, there's a lot of teachers out there who are like, well, that's good. Get as much done as you can. My very spiritual approach is why? What, it's the race to nowhere. Where are you going? What will happen when you finish that list? You might get a thrill for a second.
Let me answer for Dawn.
Okay.
Why? The reason is because it makes me feel good.
Temporarily.
Right.
You will have to do it again the next day.
And then I'll do it again and it'll make me feel good the next day.
But the next day you don't get to two of the things. And mm-hmm. then you feel what?
Like crap.
Okay. So what I'm saying is I have a list too. I'm not against lists, but you have to balance it with space and time. Now, I was just watching an old Carolyn Mace. I don't know if you guys know Carolyn Mace. She wrote Anatomy of the Spirit and Sacred Contracts and a bunch of other books. But I was watching a very old Super Soul Sunday with Carolyn Mace. She's from Chicago, so we get to see her a lot. One of the things she said that took me like 2 days to kind of process, and I realized how wise it is, because if you guys know her, she kind of comes across kind of harsh. She's not like touchy-feely at all. Her last name is spelled M-Y-S-S, just so you guys know. And she said, if people want to be happy, they have to have no expectation and no judgment. So I was kind of like I had to sit with that one for a while. Like I think I got where she was going, but I was like, oh, if we have no expectation, you know, the place our ego goes, right? But then the more I sat on it, the more I realized how right that is, because judgment and expectation are what end up creating resentment or end up creating self-shaming or end up creating a being on a hamster wheel. If we go into a day and we're like, you know what, I'm going to do this. I might go work out. And I like say that we work and we have to get something done. Like I have to, you know, input all this information. That's a have to, right? Because that's part of my job. But the other stuff, I'm going to maybe do this, but maybe do that. Then with no expectation, no judgment, maybe a friend calls and we're like, I'm not going to go work out. I'm going to go to coffee instead. And instead of being like, I shouldn't be at coffee, we're like, this is lovely. This was a surprise. I didn't expect this. And I know that some people's personality types don't jive with what I'm saying and that some people are a little more like Todd. But it is, even Todd, you do well when you have, when our days are open, I feel like. You're just less, like the first day we got back to work or that our kids went to school and Todd had that freedom, he was gone. He was in his office, he was typing, his earphones were on. He went out to lunch with Sean. Frank came over. They had men's group. He had his earphones on. And you were gone. You were like right back into that mode.
It was awesome.
For you.
Here's the deal. Dawn already admitted to us that this is a pattern for her.
Correct.
Okay. So she's already knowing right. the directions.
Right.
Whenever I'm coaching clients and there's a pattern, I always say, do the opposite. What's the opposite? I would invite Dawn to do the opposite of what she thinks is right. And what she thinks is right is to be productive the whole day. I would say on the first day, go to a movie. I would say start meditating, because meditating, a lot of us think, oh, what a waste of time. I can be doing other things.
And that will change everything.
So just for the sake of learning, like it might blow up in your face, but try doing the opposite, which is I don't want to tell you to be unproductive the entire day, but schedule unproductive times in your day. Just to see what happens.
And I want to, and again, because I'm a word person, it's not unproductive.
I know, the quote unquote unproductive,
okay.
You know?
The things that you think could be a waste of time.
Having said that, we got some really good suggestions okay. on the chat. This is from Millie. Here's a tip that I've tried to incorporate when I've had those monumental lists of to-dos. Each day, just pick out from that list three things that you will accomplish that day. Don't pick three huge things, maybe just one biggish thing, but three things that you can accomplish in one day. You will feel so good about crossing out those three things on your list. I will add to that. And maybe this is in conflict with Millie, but I tend to like do the easy stuff first in the morning, which is email and stuff like that. And if I have to like, whatever, write a blog, I save that and then I never do it. So my energy is highest in the morning. So when I'm really productive, I start with the most challenging task first, because that creates momentum for me. That's the one thing. And then Kelsey, Alyssa says, this was totally me when my youngest started kindergarten. It's crazy how fast the school day flies by. And Kelsey says, I can totally relate to Dawn. I sometimes tell myself, yes, I have to do all the stuff I want to do, and I don't know what's going to happen. Also, I give myself at least 2 weeks that I think of as transition weeks, when basically anything goes and it's not about productivity.
Me too.
Blah, blah, blah. Kel, let's see. And then Karen says, this will be me in 2 years. I was talking to my friend about this. It will be a year of, it will be a year of me. No plan. And if I feel like binging on Netflix all day, I'm going for it. I know myself, and this will be so freeing. I also know that it will grow, that it will grow old, and I will find my groove.
Yes.
Reminds me of putting a baby on a schedule. You can fight the tide, or you can let the, you can let it be, and they will find their own. There's a whole bunch of other goods. I'll copy this chat because I don't want to read the whole thing, but I will copy this chat and put it in the show notes for people's.
And just like from all those tips that all you guys gave that are awesome. I agree. I'm going to put Todd and Millie's together. Like Millie said, if you choose just two or three things and you're like, I know I have to get this done, and you get it done, even if they each take 5 minutes, you feel good. And I usually appreciate or will be like, this is a good day if I did something kind of difficult. Like right now I have, there's this thing on our credit card that this people billed us for this hotel that we didn't use. It's kind of a long story, but I have to kind of like talk to the person in accounting and all these things I hate to do. And, but when I do that, because I've already started the process, I feel accomplished. Kind of like I don't know if you guys remember from like 3 or 4 years ago on the show, I used to have this thing I called one brave thing that I'm going to do today. And it could be a really small thing. It doesn't have to be that I'm going to go mountain climbing. It's something like I'm going to make that phone call, because a lot of times when we go to bed, the things that we're stirring about are the things that we should have done. Like, if I would have just made that phone call and gotten it done, or if I would have just dropped that thing off at the post office, I would have been like, I'm done with it. And sometimes it only takes 5 minutes. And then we feel accomplished. We feel like, to me, my mornings have been very different for years because of meditation, because of my 5-minute journal. Before I've even gotten out of my bedroom, I feel like I've accomplished something. And that then gets the ball rolling with, I'm already good. If we get up and we're like on email and we're running and we're like, I want to get that feeling of accomplishment from checking things off my list, it's endless. And so
I think on next week's podcast, we usually change our mind 4 times before we decide what we're going to talk about, but we're going to talk about nighttime and morning rituals.
Okay.
And even if you don't have rituals, you may think, well, I don't have them. You have them. Everybody has them. Maybe your ritual is to watch TV. Like everybody has them. So we're going to reframe that. So maybe we'll talk about that next Tuesday.
Okay.
I do have 2 questions written that I think will be short.
Okay. Why is it so hot in the house?
Because I turned off the air conditioning.
Oh, can we go back? It's like 88 degrees. Can we turn it back on? Here, you start.
88 degrees, sweetie.
Yes.
Let's see how hot it is outside.
It's 78. Basically 88.
No, it's not.
It's 88 in this house.
No.
You start reading and I'm going to turn the air back on. I'm so hot. Todd is like, Todd feels productive if he's uncomfortable and then suffers through it.
I love suffering. It's the best.
If I'm uncomfortable, then the day is not enjoyable.
That air conditioner has been on for 3 months straight.
Because it's summer.
No. In the daytime, what about the ceiling fans idea we had? Open the door, ceiling fan it up.
Right. But there's no doors open and there's no fans on.
Because we're doing a Team Zen.
Oh my God. I'm just going to turn. It's like 80 something degrees. Start.
78 degrees.
Okay.
Actually, our thermostat says 79, okay. So I win that too. Okay, all right, sweetie, I think you'll like this question.
Okay,
I'm starting a new job as a psychologist in a private school. My daughter, who will be in 5th grade, will be at the same school with me.
Oh, nice.
Didn't you go to
school? No, mom was at a different school.
It's physically a huge school, so I don't know how much we'll run into each other. K through 12, there are about 900 kids. I'd like to set some boundaries with her ahead of time. I already have. But I'd be interested in more ideas. Many faculty has this happen. Any thoughts?
So I don't know what the question is. I missed
the
question.
She wants to set boundaries because it's going to be weird. Her kid's going to be at school with her.
So what kind of bound, like, because she's worried about her daughter, seeing her daughter, or her daughter's worried about seeing
her? I don't know
her.
How much we'll run into each other. Blah, blah, blah. I'd like to set some boundaries with her ahead of time.
Well, the only thing I could think of boundaries-wise, maybe it's the word that's throwing me off, I would just have a conversation with her. About instead of saying, I won't do this or I won't do that, because you don't know yet. You haven't started the job. So I would say, if you run into me in the hallway, how would you like me to respond? Or how will we engage each other? Or if you need something during the day, how will we communicate? Because I don't know if she's worried about her daughter wanting to go see her all the time, or if she's worried about that her daughter will be embarrassed that she's there. So I don't know which
way
it goes.
Probably both.
Possibly. But I always think, like, instead of guaranteeing or promising anything ahead of time, just have a conversation about what's the ideal situation here. And then have a conversation. And then once you get into it, after the first day or the first week, say, how are we doing? And then if she's like, well, you embarrassed me when you said hi to me, say, okay, how should we just do a wave instead? You know, like, you kind of have to gauge it as you go. Like, instead of saying, this is how it's going to be, take it day by day. Like, you know, you just said to Cameron the other day,
when the kid was here.
Yeah. So Cameron had some friends over the other day, and one of her girlfriends, her dad is from South Africa, and his family comes in for the summer. And so they always have a lot of family at their house. And she brought her cousin who is from South Africa, and he was over and talking, and Todd came downstairs and heard him or something and said, who are you?
Yeah.
And kind of being funny.
But, I don't know that kid.
But the kid was like, and Cameron's friends know that Todd's like that, so it's not weird to them.
They're aware of my awesomeness.
But the boy was really kind of uncomfortable.
No, you're making up a story.
Cameron said he
what was. I said to Cameron, okay, was I was going to introduce myself, oh, and shake his hand, okay, and do all these things. Instead, I did what I didn't want to do, which is, you know, who's that kid? He's Kira's cousin, and I walked upstairs.
Oh, okay.
So I feel like I took the high road and didn't embarrass my daughter, who gets embarrassed by the way I breathe in front of her children.
In front of her friends.
Yeah. So I feel like I did something good.
Oh, so
what I wanted
good
to do was walk up and have a conversation with this kid from South Africa, because I think it'd be really interesting.
He's got an awesome accent. He's so cool.
I didn't even get a chance to hear it because Cameron is so hypersensitive to me embarrassing her. Probably because I used to embarrass her when she was little, and I still kind of do it because it's fun, but I'm trying not to do it too much.
She's sensitive like her mama. But she's also, she walks down the street holding hands and with her arms around us now. Have you noticed that that's changed? She's gotten less like concerned about what other people think.
No.
But I think with her peers, it's still a little like, but anyway, so I was wrong then. She wasn't embarrassed.
I don't know if she was or she wasn't, but the conversation was about me deciding to not make a big deal
and
out
so,
of this kid.
So then Todd said, how did I do, Cameron?
Yeah, how did I do?
Did I do okay? And she was like, yeah, that was fine.
By the way, Cameron, one of the ways that we connect is we watch This Is Us, and I'm in the middle of the second season. And for those of you guys who watch that show, I saw the one, it's called Super Bowl Sunday, and something really big happened.
Crockpot.
It had to do with a crockpot getting on fire, and it was really...
Yeah, she's got it. Don't say anymore.
Yes, I won't.
Okay.
It was a good episode.
Okay.
It was a tough episode.
So the answer to that question is have an ongoing conversation with your child about it instead of saying this is how it's going to be, because you don't know.
All right. Next question, and maybe last. Typically in our family of three, this is from Lavina.
Okay.
Herself, her husband, and her six-year-old boy, we don't yell at each other, and if on an occasion I have shouted at my son, I later apologized and explained that I was frustrated and that I made a poor choice when I was expressing myself in an unkind way. Anyways, that was just a little background on our family dynamic. My question is, now that my son is involved in sports, he's interacting with people that sometimes do yell to get the team or groups of kids to listen or cooperate. Even if it's not directed at my son, it bothers him. Mm. I don't think it scares him. I honestly just think he doesn't like to be talked to that way. Another reason I think that this is true is because I've noticed even with friends, he tends to gravitate towards kids who like to have fun but are pretty chill but not screaming and shouting. He has made comments about practice like they yell a lot. Is there a way to offer support to him?
Well, I think just the fact that he can have that conversation with you and you can acknowledge it, because you're right. He probably is. I think most people are uncomfortable with yelling because it's overstimulating. If you grow up in a home where there's a lot of yelling, maybe it's more normal and you're like, well, this is what people do, but it still shakes you up. It's still our voices get loud to get people's attention. So that's what it does. So I'm not surprised that it bothers him. The thing that, because we don't yell in our home either. Sometimes the girls yell at each other when they're frustrated. there's sometimes some, it's funny, this is just a really quick story about this. The other night, Todd and I went to see Smashing Pumpkins and JC was babysitting the girls. And JC's like, I want to show you this video. And I was like, what? She's like, it's so funny. And it's her and it's Cameron and Skylar having a fight where Cameron's chasing her. They didn't hurt each other. It was more of a funny fight. But JC's walking around videotaping the fight. And I'm like, weren't you supposed to be babysitting them?
She was.
Like, aren't you supposed to be stopping the fight?
No, no, no.
And she's like, no, it was hilarious. Yeah. And wait till you see this part. Now, they didn't hurt each other. It was minor. But my point is, I was laughing at her for babysitting in that way. Anywho, if you're the thing that Todd and I try and use, because the girls have obviously had coaches and teachers that yell. Remember, let's not say her name, but remember we were just having the conversation about the teacher who was with Max all the time?
Yes.
Do the imitation. But don't use her name.
I won't use her name, but she's the one. She's
an assistant.
Assistant who helps kids with special needs.
Uh-huh.
And she'll be like, you know, the boy will do something he's not supposed to be doing. So she'll be like, and she, by the way, she's really pleasant.
She is. Like, we love
her.
Hi,
Mr. Adams.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How you doing?
She's really lovely.
So good to see you. But with this boy, I observed, she'll be like, Max, get up.
Sit down.
Sit down.
And so sometimes when we're there, we're like, yikes. And so with our girls, we kind of have a, not like we're laughing at her, but like we'll be like, ah, when she does that, like I have this kind of response. And the girls are like, so do we. And so we talk about it in like, and we try and use some humor. And also they know that we're friends with this woman. So it's not like we're disparaging her. But we'll be like, yeah, when she does that, you know, it makes us jump or it surprises us because you don't expect it. Right. So I think just having a conversation about it. And again, if he's scared, like I'm assuming he's just noticing.
Yeah.
If
she says he's chill. He's made comments that they yell a lot, but I don't think it's really
right. I think it's more, and to just acknowledge, you're right, they do. And that is the way some people talk. And that is the way some people get attention. And how does that work with you? And all these kind of things create a really interesting conversation and allows our children to kind of identify. And it sounds like he already has, he likes to be with quieter people. And I think these are opportunities instead of being like, yeah, those are bad people and we're good people. Mm. Don't do that kind of stuff. Some people,
it's not true.
One of my best friends from college talks so loud all the time. And she has told me before. Yeah. And she has told me before when she was growing up that her family used to say, oh my God, you're so loud. And it kind of made her sad because she can't really help it. It's just kind of her demeanor.
Her makeup.
And I'm used to it because I've known her since I was 18. But sometimes when I'm in a restaurant with her, I'm like she's so loud. But she's not bad. She's not trying to like be mean or inappropriate. So some people are that way. And some people do parent that way. And sometimes we're in the presence of that. And we have to, again, I've got to say this because I'm a therapist. On the continuum, if a child is being harmed, if someone is being emotionally abused in front of you, of course it's not okay. And if there was ever a coach that did that to your child and your child came home and said, they yelled at me and they told me I was horrible, of course you need to advocate. You need to step in and say, this is not okay. If they're just telling you, they use a really loud tone of voice or, you know, something to that effect, like the story we were saying, it's just for means of discussion.
A way of things.
It's a way of things. This is how our children.
Especially, sadly, he's a boy. If he plays football or baseball, he's going to get yelled at.
Yeah.
That's the way it is. Your job is to make sure that you keep him in an emotionally safe environment when he's at home so that when he does get his butt kicked by a coach yelling at him, as long as it's not abuse.
Right.
Then
not abusive.
Then you just offer support and you help him process it. And, you know, that's kind of the way things are.
I think as parents sometimes, especially when our kids are young, when we've been doing such a good job at home to be thoughtful about the way we talk to our kids and we experience our children and the way that we interact with them, then when we send them to kindergarten or for their first sporting event and then they're like being yelled at, we're like, oh my God, I've done all this work. What are you doing? But this is the world. This is like, I'm not saying the world yells. I'm saying the world has all different people. And what we're trying to do with our children is not keep them from pain, but help them learn how to feel it and process through it. We want to help them live in the world, not to escape the world. And again, to also advocate for themselves if they're being harmed. But we can't, you know, it's like the Julie Lithcott Hames quote that Todd put up yesterday. When did we think that our job as parents was to keep our kids away from these things? really our job is to help them handle it and to teach them how to advocate for themselves or to ask for help or to manage it without them integrating it and believing that's what they need to do too. So this is the, you know, but I think initially, I remember the first time JC was on a soccer team and I felt like she wasn't getting the attention she needed. And, you know, like I was parenting her.
It's when you got to take a step back.
And yeah, and I had to be like, this is a different place and I will keep the environment at home safe and emotionally available so then she can come home and talk to me about it.
Did you see her quote on the quote board today?
It says, own it.
Own it.
I know. Todd says that all the time.
It's my favorite. That's taking radical responsibility for everything that happens in our life, even the bad stuff.
Yeah.
And how are you going to address it?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Does anybody have another question?
We have 4 minutes. Does anybody want to talk about the conference? Sweetie does.
What do you mean? Why?
I don't know. It's fun
you
to talk about.
You mean my happiness about the conference?
Yeah.
I love when we announce the conference.
It's going to be off the hook.
It's so fun. And I will tell you guys, not that you asked, but we were supposed to have Glenn in our second year. We were going to have Glenn in and Rob, and that was what was going to be our conference. And there was a lot of reasons that we didn't know at the time, because I kind of got, you know, Glennon's agent and I ended up talking all the time that year. And she kept saying, I'm just not sure this is going to work out. And this was Carry On Warrior Glennon. This was Momastery Glennon. This was before Oprah Glennon. And so I was like, gosh, why is this taking so long? And eventually we said, we have to just, you know, this is not going
to
work
out. We
have
to fish or cut baits.
We had to like just keep going. And they were like, okay. And then a month later, her book was picked by Oprah to be the book club book. So my point in telling you that is they knew that was coming. We didn't. And they didn't know if her schedule was going to explode. And so this year, her agent and I started talking again. And she's like, we got to get Glenn in there. And I was like, yeah. And I was like, how about Abby? Does Abby want to come? I'm like, a lot of people in our conference are step parents and would love to talk about step parenting. And she's like, let me see. And Abby's like, absolutely. And we're like, holy crap. So
sweetie, Alyssa got her first ticket to the conference.
Yay.
So small detail. I'm thinking about maybe Kathy's doing her pre-conference workshop. I'm thinking about doing something for guys if there's a high enough demand. So I'm just saying that I feel like the Team Zen people are kind of like our most dedicated, awesome people. If you guys think that your significant other might be interested in that, just shoot me an email and say, yeah, Todd, maybe, or something like that, because I don't want to do it unless I know that I can get a crew there. And I did like something in the bar beforehand saying, hey, I'll meet your husband in the bar, and there's like two dads there. So I don't want to do it if it's only two or three dads. So.
Well, and the reason why we thought it might be helpful is there's always a few men who sign up for my pre-conference workshop because they don't know it's just for women. Mm-hmm. And then I always have to like disappoint them, and sometimes they're not happy. And I'm mm-hmm. like, I feel bad, but I'm like, you can't stay because I'm going to just be talking about women. Like mm-hmm. there are times when it just needs to be us.
Sweetie, would you mind if we did one more question real quick?
Sure, go ahead.
A couple.
And for those of you, if you have to leave because of work or whatever, go ahead.
A couple weeks ago, I was with my 13-year-old buying uniforms for the upcoming school year. During the half hour we were in the store, the owner said a couple of things that I found unsettling. First, she referred to some sizes being for short and chunky girls.
Oh.
And I heard her say to another girl that she was lucky to be tiny. I knew that I wanted to talk this through with my daughter, but even after that, I've still been thinking about it. I'm feeling like I want to talk to this owner about how language and what she says about girls' bodies can have a larger impact. On the other hand, I'm feeling a little bit self-righteous, and I think through whether or not I should have this conversation. What I'm trying to figure out is this my issue or not, or an opportunity to speak up?
Mm.
I think it's your issue. I don't think you need to speak up. I can go down the street and find 5 offensive things out there and stake my claim and say you're wrong because of this or that. If this was a person in your daughter's life that was reoccurring, I would probably say, yeah, maybe it's something. But something like this, I don't know. I feel like I'd have bigger fish to fry.
Well, I think 2 things. I think number 1, definitely talk to your daughter about it. Definitely say, whoa, that she had some opinions about people's bodies. You know, don't pretend like it didn't happen. I kind of feel like sometimes we were like, oh, I hope she didn't hear that. Of course your daughter heard that. And you can say, wow, she, you know, I would talk to her about that. And like I said, I always use humor, you know, whatever you use to, you know, acknowledge it. And then, you know, something I'm learning about speaking up is it depends on the person and the personality type, and it depends on your town, and it depends on who runs the store and who they interact with. Like, my personality type is I would not go to the store and say anything to the woman. That's just not, if that was, like Todd said, if it was someone that my children were working with all the time, maybe I'd send an email, possibly. But I also know, like the story we told on the show, where there was a coach who stood up and said, well, you know, boys are stronger than girls. And Todd's friend Eric said, are you sure about that? You know, like, I'm not quite sure you should be speaking that way. And I appreciate him doing that. But he wanted to. Like, that was part, he wasn't doing it for me. He was doing it because he wanted to. So I don't know if any of you guys know how to do the Enneagram, but the Enneagram is where it's like a personality test and you figure out your number. Yeah. And my number is not one that goes back in the store and speaks up. You know what I mean? That's just not, I speak up about a lot of things that are important to me, but that's not, that for me, that wouldn't feel right. But there are numbers on that continuum that would.
So I was answering from whatever number I am, and you're answering from whatever number you are. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean she shouldn't go.
Correct.
Maybe Kelly should go, but I would.
But we wouldn't decide that for you. If you felt like, you know what, I really, but what I will say is kind of like what I said to Jennifer at the beginning, don't go in and say you. Uh-huh. Go in and say I felt.
Plus, it's, if you think about it, you know, sorry to be so positive, but this was an opportunity for you to talk to your daughter.
Yeah.
Like, it always is a teachable moment.
And sometimes people, like, you know, Tom and I learn this all the time. Like, sometimes we think everybody's, people sometimes talk very flippantly, and they just assume everybody's on the same page, and they're not.
And we want to paint them with a brush like, isn't that lady horrible? She's got baggage, just like we got baggage, and she's probably been hurt, and she was taught that this is okay language.
Yeah, someone probably spoke to her that way.
She's not purposely trying to hurt somebody, or even if she is, it's coming from a wound.
Yeah.
So, you know, compassion for everybody.
Yeah.
Compassion for all. That's going to be my quote tomorrow.
Well, what I liked about her question is she said, I'm questioning if I'm being righteous. Mm-hmm. And I often sometimes feel righteous, like, she should know better, they should know better. And is that true? You know, do they? And am I just coming from a place of, I know this, but maybe a few years ago I didn't. And so it's like, maybe, you know, it's like Rob Bell's thing, how he said we all get there at different times. But if we are the type of person who's like, well, I'm one of the people who's going to teach her, but I'm going to do it in a respectful way, go for it. Like, speaking up is very a personal experience. Todd and I would never give you, we would never say don't, and we would never say do. That's up to you. That's your choice.
Well, and kind of what you're getting at, it's, if, let's just say she's going to do it, you got to do it from above the line,
yep,
or from a place of understanding. Yep. Say, listen, store manager lady, I've been there too, and
yep,
I've said a lot of bad stuff, and I just thought maybe
I want to tell you how this affected my daughter,
yeah,
and I.
Right.
And I know that you probably didn't mean it that way. So like Todd said, if you're doing it above the line, if you're doing it below the line, no.
Forget it.
Don't do it.
Don't do anything below the line. And if you don't know what that means, I'll include a 3-minute video that I use almost a few times a week for myself and clients. Jennifer is excited for the conference, and she's hoping that there's another Zen.
Oh yeah,
Team Zen gathering.
We'll do Team Zen stuff again. Well, you guys will have, you know, we'll make sure that there's a gathering beforehand. You guys will, you know, make sure that everyone knows who you are.
We'll make you feel special.
If you know, we haven't gotten to all those details yet, but Team Zen is obviously a big part of the conference. So, and we want to make sure you guys can spend time together and that you're loved.
And if you have any friends that you think might like this, I mean, we're excited for every conference, but this year we are equally or more excited than the other ones. If you have any friends that you think might dig it,
bring them.
Early bird special. And a Team Zen special, yeah, if they want to join the team and save
another 10%.
Another $25.
Yeah.
It's a free month of Team Zen, basically.
Yeah. So, yes, we'll take care of you guys at the conference. Team Zen will be taken care of.
So, our next Zen talk is going to be 2 weeks from today, Friday, August 31st, which is before we leave for family camp. Are you okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay. 12 o'clock Central. And we'll have a podcast on Tuesday, as we always do. And if you guys have any questions, use the Facebook page. It's by far one of the better vehicles we have as far as support. Please use it. Anything else, sweetie?
No.
All right. Keep trucking.
Love you all.
Bye, Mimi.
Thank
bye,
you, everybody.
Jennifer. Bye, Pog. Bye, Millie. Bye, Kelsey. Bye, Karen.
Talk to
bye,
you soon.
Alyssa. Bye, Kelly.